continue our series that we begun on the journey of faith. We're talking about the life of Abraham. Abraham has been, his legacy was that he is the father of faith. And I got to looking in the Old Testament, and we've looked at his life, and we're going to look at it a little bit this morning. And we get to see the weaknesses of Abraham. But when we get into the New Testament, that is not mentioned at all. That's not what stood out to God. That's not what the Holy Spirit brought forth. His legacy was, and he's in the Hall of Fame of Faith and mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 several times. But it does not talk about his flaws. It does not talk about his weaknesses. It talks about his accomplishment and how he yielded to God and became the father of faith. And I thought about us as people. A lot of times, see, nobody knows me like me. Nobody knows my weakness. Well, you might know them because you see them all the time. But I mean, I know my fears. I know my sins. I know my failings. I know my shortcomings. And a lot of times we'll dwell on those things, and they'll keep us from becoming what we ought to be. And God saw all of those in Abraham, and he took him on a growth path. He is the author of our faith, but he's also the finisher of our faith. Now, author is kind of like a builder. You have a guy who lays the foundation. You have the framer. When they get the framing up, they bring the finishers in. And the finisher comes in, and he completes the product. He completes the building. And that's the way God, he is the one who is the foundation of our faith. He's the framer of our faith, but he's also the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. And he is willing, and I love this. He's willing to work with us through our struggles. And we see this with Abraham, that there were times that he struggled in his faith. But yet in the end, and the testimony of Abraham is that he is the father of faith. He's the father of us all because we have the faith of Abraham. Now, Genesis, I want to read our foundation scripture. This is God, he comes to Abram. He is in Haran. And it says, now the Lord had said to Abram. Now notice it said that he had said. He said this, actually, and we're going to look at a verse a minute that'll explain it. Get out of the country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He said, this is what you can do. See, one of the things is, and here's what we need to see, not only is that God is interested in our legacy, but he only wants us to do what we can do. If we'll do what we can do, in obedience, then he'll do the impossible. He'll do the rest. It's not up to us to do the impossible. Aren't you glad? I mean, wow. We can't do the impossible, but he can. But he partners with us. And so he wants us to take steps, sometimes small steps of obedience. And when we do what we're supposed to do, then he does what he can do. And that just makes the difference. And we need to know that as Christians. It's because we look at God and he's this perfect being. And we look at us and we're this imperfect being. And we're thinking, I can never approach God. Yes, you can. Because he's the one who made the way. He's the one that loved us. We're not the ones that loved him. God, we're not the ones that reached out to him. He was the one who reached out to us. And he's the one who loves us before we ever told him that we love him. So it's about God. It's about his story. It's about his glory. It's about his plan. And we are the recipients of his grace. You have been chosen by God for his glory. Isn't that good? That's good. You're chosen by God for his glory. But I know my story. But what we want to see is his glory in our story. I'm waxing poet now. And here's what he said. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. That's what you do. Here's what he will do. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram could not do that for himself. He couldn't even comprehend what all of that meant. But what did he need to do? He just needed to believe and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's what he needed to do. And I want to read in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia," that's where Ur of the Chaldee was, "before he dwelt in Haran, and said, 'Get out of your country, from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you.'" So what did he do? He left Ur of the Chaldees, and he took his kinfolks with him, and he took his father with him. Now, he was partially obedient. He was partially obedient. And what happened was there was a delay. They moved and they established Haran, and there his father died. There was a separation that took place. And there was a reason. See, there was a reason that God said that to him. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2 gives us some insight into why he had to leave his land, why he had to leave his family. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." They were idol worshipers. In fact, there's a story that comes to us through tradition. It's not a Bible story. It's a traditional story. And if this is not a true story, then there is a story of the progression. But this is the story that comes to us through tradition. That actually, Terah was, Abraham's father, was an idol maker. He was an idol maker. And Abram began, he was around that, and he began to see his father make and sell idols. And he got to be thinking to himself, these idols have no power. These idols are just something that we make with our hand. Why do we worship something that we make with our hand? So he engaged his father in argument. And, of course, that was his father's livelihood. So guess what his father, he believed in the idols. So one day when his father was gone, Abram took a hammer and he began to smash all the idols, all except one, which was the biggest idol. And what he did, he put the hammer in that idol's hand and went out. His father comes in and he sees the chaos. He said, "What has happened?" He says, "Father, can't you see that this big idol has mashed all of these little idols?" He says, "Abraham, you and I both know that these idols have no life or power." And Abraham said to his father, "Then why do we worship them?" That's a good story, isn't it? So God was dealing with Abraham about idols and how that those idols had no power. And he began to reveal himself to him, even in Ur of the Chaldees, before he left to go to Haran. And after that, his father died there, and there was a separation that took place. Many times in our lives, there has to come separation for God to be able to do his work in us that he wants to do. We tell folks in CR all the time, you know, if you're going to overcome addiction, you're going to have to change some things. You're going to have to separate from people, places, and things. That because if you hang around those people, places, and things, you're going to continue to do everything that you ought to do. And what God said to Abraham, said, "Hey, you got to change your people, places, and things. You got to get away from your family. You got to get away from your kinfolks. You got to get away from this land over here. And I'm going to give you a land." So Abram partially obeyed and went. And you know what God did? He worked with him. See, we don't always fully obey, do we? Now we should, shouldn't we? We ought to trust God enough that if he says something to us, we ought to do it. But do you ever argue with God? Anybody besides me ever argue with God? Lord, I know you want me to go talk to that knucklehead, but, you know, he'll make fun of me. Lord, you want me to give what? Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to be what? Well, I'll do this. Well, God works with us. And he began to work with Abram. So when his father died, he left, and guess who he took with him? Lot, his nephew. God said, get away from your family. And that included Lot. Lot was not part of the plan. So they moved out. They began to prosper. Abram, his flocks grew, and Lot's flocks grew, and they began to have trouble between the herdsmen. And so Abraham goes to Lot and said, listen, we shouldn't have strife among us. You go one direction, I'll go the other, and you pick. Well, Lot chooses to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham chose to go a different direction. The very moment, listen to this, the very moment that they separated, God spoke to Abraham. And he told him, he said, I want you to look in every direction. I want you to walk through this land because this is the land that I'm going to give you. See, he couldn't give it to him while Lot was there. Lot had to be separated out of his life because Lot was not part of the plan. See, there's things in our life that's not part of the plan that has to be separated from us before we can hear from God the next thing that he wants to say to us. See, we have to be willing to listen. You know, these are hard, aren't they? Some are harder than others. That kind of hurt. But we're hard-headed. And it wasn't until that there was this separation. The moment there was separation, God gave him the next piece of the puzzle. God showed him the next thing that he wanted him to do. He says, walk through the land. Walk through the land. Now, he didn't inhabit it. He just walked through it. It was inhabited by enemies. But this was the land that God was going to give him. Now, I'm sure Abraham thought, how am I going to inherit this land? Don't you see all of these Canaanites? Don't you see all of these people? That wasn't his business. His business was to walk through the land. See, many times we want to ask God, well, how are you going to do that? And God can say, it's none of your business. That's my business. Your business is to do what I told you to do. But see, we want to see the whole picture. And to see the whole picture, it don't take faith. God doesn't show us the whole picture. Although he gave, in Genesis 12, he showed Abraham the whole deal of promises, but he didn't see the end result of it all. In fact, he didn't see it in his lifetime. He saw parts of it. So as he goes through this land, something happens. These kings decided that they're going to attack Sodom and Gomorrah. So they go into Sodom and Gomorrah and they overpower the kings there and they take the spoil. And one of the things that they took with them is Lot and his family. A man escapes and goes to Abraham and says, tells him about it. So this guy that was afraid to admit that Sarah was his wife and call her his sister. This guy gets his 300 and something guys and they go in. They beat five kings. They beat them. He takes back Lot. He takes the spoils from those five kings. And as he is going, something significant happens in his life. He's going back to Sodom. He's returning back the things that were stolen from them. And he meets a man. Does anybody know who that man was? Melchizedek. He was priest of the Most High God. He was the prince of Salem, which is Jerusalem. And Abram encounters him. Now, there's something very significant that's going to happen here with Melchizedek. Here, Abram, he's won this great battle. He has all of these spoils. And what does he do? He comes out and Melchizedek comes out with bread and wine, which is a picture of, our communion. It's a picture of Christ is what it is. And Abram gives him 1/10 of everything that he has. Now, this is a significant thing because God has promised him a lot. But Abraham responds to God by giving him a tenth. You know what he's showing? He's showing that he is not an owner, that he is a steward. This is big in this father of faith, because God is going to take this and he's going to use it for a great thing. See, tithing began with Abraham. Tithing didn't begin with the law. We don't have to tithe. It's not in, you know, we're not under the law. Tithing was instituted a long time before the law ever came along. Tithing's a spiritual principle. And he was showing by this, his heart was showing that he recognized that God was the possessor of heaven and earth. And that everything he had because of God's blessing. And he was honoring God with a tenth. This is big in Abraham's life. It shows his character. It shows who he is and what he's made of. And he is going to be somebody that God can bless in a tremendous way. So every step that something happened, God appears to him. God speaks to him. And it's not like Abraham is being this perfect little angel because, you know, he misses it. He's partially obedient. But when he becomes fully obedient, after God separates these things from his life, he begins to speak to him and show him other things. Now, we know that Abraham walked in fear some. Did you know sometimes when we walk in faith, fear comes at us? When we're on the walk of faith, fear comes at us? And, you know, God's, you know, remember what God said to him? I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. Through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Does that sound like he's going to go somewhere and just die? No. But there's a famine in the land. He goes down to Egypt. He's got a good-looking wife. She's old and good-looking. Hey, you can be old and good-looking. Ain't nothing wrong with being old and good looking, you know. Praise. Well, she was old and good looking. And he saw her beauty and he said, you know what? Every man in Egypt is going to want her and they're going to kill me for her. You know what he forgot? He forgot what God promised. He moved from faith to fear. So he goes down there and they tell this lie. And sure enough, Pharaoh has her brought into his court. And he intended to making her a wife. But that night, they were plagued by God. See, God said, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. Pharaoh was about to take part of the blessing. God said, nuh-uh, that's not happening. God went to work. See, God was true to his promise, even when Abraham wasn't. God is always committed to the purpose that he has for you. He's committed when you're unfaithful to it. He's committed when you're walking in fear. He is always working with his purpose. And he was maneuvering around. He brought this plague on them. And Pharaoh realized, hey, that's his wife. I need to. So he gave her back and gave servants and money and cattle and sent him away. The only problem was there was a slave that went out with them, that's going to be a problem later. Her name is Hagar. She was an Egyptian slave that came with them out of Egypt. Another time, he was dealing with Abimelech. He does the same thing again. Tell him you're my sister. Same thing happened. But this time, Abimelech gave his wife back and rebuked him. So there were times that Abram got into fear. He wasn't always in faith. He had little side excursions. Well, he has this promise that he is going to be the father of many nations. Sarah looks at herself, and she's old. Good looking, but old. She looks at him, and he's old. And she says, how are we going to do this? We can't conceive. Maybe God is going to use my slave girl, Hagar, to fulfill his promise. You're going to try to help God. Now, first of all, I cannot imagine a wife doing something like that. Can you? What's up with that? My wife ain't doing nothing like that. I don't know about yours. My wife, nuh-uh. She's narrow-minded. She won't even let me date. I mean, she is narrow-minded. Not much less sleep with somebody else. And she proposed that. You know how men are. Hey, I get a witness to that. Well, he did and she did. And guess what? Baby's conceived. Guess what his name is? Ishmael. He is a total work of the flesh. He's not a child of promise. He's the child of the flesh. And from that time until this time, there has been a contention between Ishmael and Isaac. A lot of what we see going on in our world today is a result of the contention that goes back, all the way back to Ishmael and Isaac. And that's all we're going to say about that. So, here again, he's trying to help God. Do we ever try to help God? Lord, I know I've committed this to you. Well, maybe you want to do it this way. So I'll just go over here and borrow this money. You know, where God provides, where God guides, he provides, and where he don't, you tote the note. Quit trying to help God. If God said something, that's what he'll do. Okay. After every one of these events, Abram has a encounter with God. He's 99 years old. Sarah is 89 and still good looking. There's hope. God comes to him and he cuts a covenant with him. And he says several things to him in that covenant. In fact, he told him what was going to happen to his offspring. And they went through this ritual of a covenant. He instituted circumcision at that point. See, circumcision has nothing to do with the law. It was started before the law. It was a sign of the covenant. But one of the significant things that he did in this was that he changed their names. He changed their names. He says, you have been called Abram, but from now you shall be called Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And her name shall be no longer Sarai, it shall be Sarah, princess. So what was he doing? He was changing what Abraham was saying. Every time he says, I am Abraham, you know what he was saying? I am the father of a multitude. I am Abraham, father of a multitude. I am Abraham, father of a multitude. Her name is Sarah, princess. I want to read a verse. I'm going to skip to the same one. Romans 4, about six verses here. This is talking about faith. And that's what we're talking about, the encounter of faith, growing in faith. But we're going to see something that happened because when that happened, 1 year later, they had Isaac. So something happened in that year. The covenant happened. God brought him to a certain place. He changes his name. There's power that's fixing to happen. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, or the Jews, or the natural descendants, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's talking about us there. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's what God said to him. I have made. He didn't say, I'm going to make you a father. He says, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, there's something going on here. Before he ever became a father, God called him father of a nation. And it says that God gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not, that do not exist, as though they did. Think all the way back to creation for just a moment. All the way back to creation. And God said, let there be light. Or light be. Light was. What did he do? He called those things that did not exist as though they did. And when he did that, guess what? That's what happened. That's the principle here. That's how he worked. God, you know, all of creation is by God's word. God's word. Some call it the Big Bang. Well, God spoke and bang, there it was. Now, here's Abraham's part. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now, what is hope? Hope is a confident expectation. Within itself, it has no power. It's our expectancy. It's like the thermostats on the wall back there. When I came in this morning, they were not on. At a certain time, they came on. And they came on to 70 degrees. And it either brought it up or brought it down to that. That thermostat is like our hope. That's our expectation. On a hot day, you set the thermostat on 70. It might be 80. 70 is the expectation. 80 is the reality. What happens? The hope. So when the power combined to the thermostat, the power goes to work to bring it to 70. That's how faith and hope work together. But notice it said, who against hope believed in hope. Okay, let's picture it this way. What hope did he against hope? If you look at your body, it don't work. 99-year-old men probably don't have sexual relationships. Maybe because they can't. 89-year-old women don't have babies. And all the 89-year-old women said, some of them younger ones said that too. So there was no way in the natural. If you look at the bodies, they're past their prime. They can't produce. That's the hope. There was no hope. Against hope, no hope. He believed in hope. What was the hope that he believed in? The promise that God had said to him, I have made you a father of many nations. I'll bless you. I'll bless your descendants. They'll be as innumerable as the stars. That was his hope. So he had to choose, what am I going to believe? Am I going to believe my circumstances, or am I going to believe the promise? And now we're in the crux of what our faith is about. Because faith always deals with the unseen. And have you ever noticed that what we call reality and what the Bible calls a promise, many times they're different. They're different. What are you going to look at? What are you going to consider? Are you going to just consider what you see and sense with the five physical senses? Or are you going to look at the promises of God and let that become your hope? See, I know me. As I said a while ago, I know my weaknesses, I know my frailties, I know my tendencies, I know my sins. But I read a scripture one time, it says that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do I see myself as this weak, undone person, or do I see myself as the righteousness of God? If I live in this reality, I will do little to promote the kingdom. If I live in this reality over here, it supersedes my weaknesses. It supersedes my everything, and it releases God in my life to do what he wants to do. See, it's faith. Faith. And this is where Abraham was at. He considered not, it goes on to say, let's read it. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. Now, could he see his body? Could he see her body? Dead. But he said he didn't consider that. He said he didn't waver at the promise of God, because God says it's through Sarah that your son is coming. There's no way in the natural, but there is in the supernatural. What was his part? His part was to obey and believe. You know what he did? He said he was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. Let me give you a scenario. He looks at him and says, God, I can see in the natural that I can't do this. But I thank you, O God, that your promises are true unto me. Therefore, I choose today to believe your promises that I shall be the father of many nations. I shall have a son. Said he didn't consider his body. He considered the promise of God. And see, when we are in our moment where our reality contradicts the word of God, then we have to choose which one we're going to consider. Are we going to consider the natural, or are we going to consider the promise? And this is where we need to choose to be. This is where faith is exercised. This is where we move from being limited by ourselves. And this is where we get into obedience and allow the power of God to go to work in our lives. Amen. Okay. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, guess what happened? Baby's born. Guess what his name is? Isaac. Guess what they did to him in 8 days? They circumcised him. He began to raise him. There's only one more thing that's going to happen. We're going to talk about that next week. I want to ask our prayer team to come. You know, one of the things that we pray about these services is that it's not important that I speak, but it is important that the Holy Spirit speaks. And I believe that many times I'll say something that'll cause him to say something to you. And I believe that he talks to everybody, every one of us. I believe that sometime during this service that the Holy Spirit said something to you. And the question is, what did he say to you, and what do you need to do with what he said? Was it a correction? Was it an encouragement? Whatever it was, you need to respond to the Holy Spirit today. You know, we have prayer at the end for those who have needs. It doesn't matter what that need is. But especially for those who need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. That is the greatest decision that any of us will ever make. And I don't know your spiritual condition today. I do some of you, but some of you I don't. So if that's what the Holy Spirit's talking about to you today, that you need to surrender fully to Him, then that's what you need to do. Do not allow this opportunity to pass you by to do that. See, many of you are to the point because you have felt like God's quit talking to you. And maybe the problem is that there's something that you quit short of in obedience to Him that caused Him to stop saying to you what you need to hear. So when you make that decision to obey, the next thing that happens is that He's going to reveal something to you that you need in your life. So if there's something that you need to surrender to Him today, do that. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. And we're going to worship one more time. So let's go ahead and stand. But let me pray real quick. And after that, you just respond to the Lord. If you want to come to the front and do that, that's fine. Father, thank you. Thank you for the example that we have of Abraham. And that we get to look into his life. And we get to see his weakness. And we get to see his strengths. But most of all, we get to see your grace. We get to see how you work in his life, and how you're willing to work in our lives if we'll let you. Father, draw your people to you today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's worship.